Hi, and welcome to the Rags to Riches Show with myself, Terry Blackburn. So this podcast is all about inspiring you, motivating you, pushing you on to achieve more in your life, whether that's in business, property, your health and fitness, your personal life, every part of your life. This podcast hopefully will help you achieve more, do more, and get to where you want to be. So just before the episode starts, I have just launched a new website called terryblackburnproperty.com. On there, I've got all of the services that I offer. So one-to-one coaching in business, property, time management, goal setting, sales, persuasion, loads of different things on there. I've got some online courses, some one-to-one coaching courses as well. So please have a look on there. Really appreciate your support. And if you want to get involved, you want some more specific help from me, you want some more one-to-one coaching and assistance from me to help you to get to where you want to be, it's all on there. Also got a couple of books on Amazon and Audible, The Be A Lion, which has won multiple awards worldwide now, and The Power of P's is the new one, all about the different P words: profit, power, perspective, purpose, etc. I hope you'll really enjoy. One last thing from me, if you enjoy these podcasts and you benefit from them, you learn from them, all I ask is that you share it with your friends and family or someone who you think the episode is relevant to. And you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would massively help. The more shares we get, the bigger guests I can get on the podcast, the more people we can help and the more I can grow the show. So thank you so much. Get in touch if you like what you're listening to. And don't just take notes, take action.
Property specifically, I first got involved in it in the third year at university. I had the opportunity, a family member was going through some financial difficulties, and this was a good few years ago, and it was a case of me sort of realizing that we were renting rooms as student accommodation, and I could see how much money was in it. So I kind of used to broker deals with the landlord that if I paid money up front, would get the discounts on the rooms for everybody. And then I just took the opportunity to speak with my dad, because I was 19, I think, at the time, or 20. And we went to see the bank manager, and they basically let me take over the mortgage, which I suppose was a kind of lease option at the time. I didn't realise it. So I just used my student loans and my student overdrafts and savings to sort of get our first property. And my first tenant was one of my housemates when we all went to law school. He went to law school in Nottingham, and he became my first tenant. And that's how my interest started to build in property, yeah.
And what age was that, sorry, when you bought your first one?
I would have been sort of 20, 21. It was my final year at university, yeah.
Fair play. And was there an early interest in property from sort of younger than that? Because, you know, not many people are really looking at property at that age, I don't think.
No, there was an early interest in money. As long as I could, I remember at primary school people telling me that I was really good with money. I used to do things like buy bikes, do them up. And then my dad used to have the opportunity to buy company cars at the end of a 2-year contract. So I'd sell his company cars. And this was while at Comprehensive. Yeah. And when I actually left Comprehensive, my head of house actually said I'd either be in jail or a millionaire. Yeah, so I kind of had that about me. I just love the idea of money. It wasn't to be rich or anything. It just seemed to come quite easily to me. Yeah,
love that. I think that's a lot of people have that in them. I think it can certainly be developed and evolve with time and experience. But I think a lot of people seem to have that little spark for it, don't they? At an early age, they don't know where it came from. They just always remember having it. Which you must have had, selling cars and bikes and things.
I used to get paid extra for writing an invoice if I did a job. And I remember in primary school, actually, that if the car was still clean on a Saturday, because I'd get paid for cleaning it on Sunday, I remember actually putting dirty water in a bucket and putting it on the car on Saturday night so I could get paid for cleaning it on a Sunday morning. That was the junior school, yeah.
Was it really?
Early age, yeah.
Love that. Creating a need, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
love that. Thanks, Mark. And obviously it's evolved massively since, you know, your first one at 22. 37 purchases this year alone, you know, I find is great. You know, it's very active. As you know, there's a lot of people on social media saying they do things. There's not many that actually do them. You're clearly doing that in volume. So before we get onto the current and where you are right now, you know, how's it went from buying that first one to, you know, that middle part? I know there's been purchases of businesses, new builds, and loads of quirky things. Maybe it's just an explanation of that middle part and things that you've achieved.
Yeah, it was all, I kind of was going the normal route. So, you know, I did law at university, then I went to law school with a view to being a solicitor. And then what happened was, when I was actually training as a solicitor, I had a free newsletter. It was one of these auction houses, and I remember this very, very clearly. It had a line in it. I can't remember what the line was, but it said, if you've not heard this before, this line came out of Rich Dad Poor Dad. And I know so many people have read this book. So I bought the book straight away. It was probably one of the only books I'd actually read out of choice, because law school, you don't really read out of choice. And I read the book, and that obviously went on about property and about starting your own business. And then I finished the book, and I was actually on a Friday night standing in a chip shop waiting for my chips to be cooked. And it was one of those free papers on the counter, and I read it, and there was an advert which said, start your own lettings business for £400. So by the end of the week, I'd sent off this pack and set up a company, and you got a free website with it. So that's when I set the company up. I carried on working in local stopped actually. So I came out of being a solicitor to get a job as a 6-month job share maternity cover housing officer in the local.
That's one of the longest job titles ever. That.
Yeah, I was the only guy. But it was with a view to thinking, how can I actually find out about property? So I was scanning the papers, never liked law, it was too restrictive. And then I got a job in there. And I remember seeing people coming in and out of the office. They were working, and they were called patch managers. And their job was, you had a patch, and you were in control of repairs, contractors, tenancy matters. And I just loved the idea of that. So I kind of went into that role. I'd already started setting up my lettings business on the side. And then when it really got to the point where I couldn't do both, I left the local authority. But it was getting silly. It was like I'd get a text saying, I remember sitting in a meeting with my manager once. I was actually getting a bit of a reprimand, and I had a text come through saying that my viewing for my lettings agency had just turned up, which was across the road from the office. So I had to say, can I just go to the toilet? Went downstairs, did the viewing, then came back to carry on getting a reprimand. So at that point, I thought, I've got to sort of give in work. And it just kind of flew from there, really. So we set the lettings agency up as a home-based business. I think we got to about 150 properties. And then we just kind of took it from there. I started buying a couple more properties, but it was a case of you buy, you do up, you rent out, and you hold. And then I had, it was kind of a eureka moment when I realized that if I could sell this property now, it was equivalent to 9 years worth of rent. So that's when I started thinking about flipping properties, which was a mistake at the time because it shot up in price afterwards. But that's where my interest came. But at that point onwards, it was really all about lettings until 2012, when I went on one of those professional property training courses. I think they're called Legacy now.
Yeah,
it was called Rich Dad Poor Dad Tigrant back then, which is what caught my eye. And I remember spending a lot of money on it, but that was my first, you know, sort of step into, wow, this is what can be done with property. Yeah.
A lot of people say similar things. The Rich Dad Poor Dad thing jumps out. You know, that was a turning point for me personally. So many other people, isn't it? And you set up an agent from a chip shop. I quite like that. Could be the headline of this.
I'm quite impulsive like that. Yeah.
I also think, actually, being impulsive, I also think that seems to be a common trait in a lot of entrepreneurs also. Being impulsive and not giving it too much thought. I think some people who analyze things too much and look at the risk to, you know, all of these things too much, they lack taking action. And I think that that's a common trait. Obviously, being too impulsive can obviously be a negative, but I think that's also a common trait. And sometimes just jumping in the deep end sometimes and learning how to swim, I think, is a good thing to do. And just saying yes sometimes for the listeners, I think.
Yeah, you've got to make it up as you go along. I remember going to my first landlord's valuation, and my car was in such a state that you couldn't let anybody see it, so I'd have to park around the corner. I had a briefcase with literally just one camera in it, and then I was trying to play this experienced agent, and it was literally, And when you buy how to be a lettings agency, it doesn't tell you how to run a lettings agency. So you do make it up as you go along. And the last thing that the landlord said to me was, this is a beautiful flat. It's got white carpets. Before you show anybody around, get them to take their shoes off. And anyway, that night I did my first viewing. And while I was actually just opening all the other doors, they'd walk straight across to the window, come across the grass first. So it was literally mud straight across the right. So as soon as I did the viewing and we let the property, it was straight to the shops. And I must have spent 3 hours trying to clean the park. Yeah, you just go for it and you make it up as you go along.
Yeah, you do, don't you? You learn by your mistakes and you fumble your way in. If you're driven enough, you just make things work, don't you? Again, I think that might be something for the listeners to take from that. If you're thinking about setting up the business, you're considering it, you've got a passion for something, sometimes it's just best to jump in and learn on, you know, learn on your feet almost and just go for it. You know, you don't get anything without taking risks sometimes, and luck fortunes the brave.
Yeah, if I can just add to that point as well, I think that they sense that you're just starting out, and a lot of people do try to help you. And I angel invest with other investors now. And what attracts me is I want to help them. I want to see them actually succeed. And when I look back now at some of those landlords and how they brought their properties on with me, you know, and these are portfolio landlords, they just knew that I was just making an effort. And, you know, I got a feeling that they were experienced and they just wanted to see me succeed. And I found that going, you know, moving forward, everybody wants you to do well if you're associating with the right type of people, that is.
Yeah, definitely. I think, just thinking about what you said there, I think that's spot on, because even when you're not new in business, but if you're speaking to people who are achieving a lot more, I've certainly found this anyway. If I try and mix with people who are miles ahead of me in terms of where I want to be, property-wise and business-wise, but when you speak to them, some of them do want to help you, don't they? And that's the same principle. If you've just started off in business, people want to help you because you're just starting off and getting, if they can see you're ambitious, you can see you've got integrity and you're a nice person, they want to help you. But likewise, if someone has 1,000 properties and you have 100 properties and you're saying to them, I want to be where you are, they will give you advice, they will help you. And I think that's the same principle. And I think again, that's good advice. And there's a lesson there to be learned for the listeners. For sure. Mark, thank you for that. I think that's a really good point. I haven't really thought about, actually, until you've said that. Okay, cool.
I'm helping you, you see. I'm helping
you. You are helping me, exactly. You're helping already. Yeah. That's why I wanted you on the show. You're a fountain of knowledge. So letting agents starting to become more successful, buying some more property along the way. Before we go on to the strategy side, because I would like to explore that, because I'm really interested in that, and I think the listeners will be. Lease options and all these creative things that you do. Just some highlights. Is there any key properties? Is there any key deals, key moments in that sort of middle part of your career that really stand out to you?
When I did that professional course, what used to happen is back at the time, it was, because this was 2012, you got sort of 5 modules, you know, distressed property. And I did the 3-day lease option course, and that just, I couldn't really focus on what they were saying because my mind just went off, because I'm quite creative like that. And when they were saying something, I was thinking, no, that I wouldn't do it like that. I would do it like this. And I remember them saying that one of the advantages of a lease option is that you can offer more than the property's worth now because you're buying into the future. And I'm thinking, but that doesn't make sense, you know. And what went through my head was, I could make a really, really low offer now, and before they actually start to lose their temper, I'll say, but there might be a way that I could actually offer you a higher amount. And that just seemed to make a lot more sense at the time. And there's a few other things that were being said where I can see where they're coming from. But by then, you know, I'd been letting properties, I'd been taken on landlords, so you kind of get an idea of what work it's salesmanship, certain amount of salesmanship. And the most notable lease options I always remember is that the course finished on a Sunday night, and I got into the office on the Monday morning, and a landlord walked in and he went to our office manager and said, look, I've got 3 properties to sell. If you can get them sold in the next 2 weeks, I will pay a hefty commission to the person that did it. And 48 hours later, we'd agreed our first 3 lease options on those properties. And I was thinking, that's in the first week from the course. So, you know, I'm going to make that feedback. And then I had an appointment to see this person, and all I could remember was kind of the the template they gave you on the course. And I remember trying to explain that to the woman, that I'm babysitting your mortgage, and I made such a hash of it that she just went for the low cash offer because I'd made the lease option sound too complicated.
Complicated, yeah.
And I sat outside in the car and I was thinking, what just happened there? And then that kind of gave me the template moving forward. And there's been so many lease options. I mean, most recently, Friday, we completed on a hotel using a lease option. I think in April was our biggest one, where it was a title split with 11 flats. And before then, there was a block of 10 flats. And they were lease options, because that's the first thing we always look at. Can we do a lease option on this first? So it's kind of the go-to strategy at the moment. Well, it always has been since that 2012 course, really.
But all the sort of sparks from then. Yeah. That's really interesting, because I certainly don't know anybody else who looks at it like that. That'll be their first strategy of trying to purchase something, would be a lease option. You know, majority of people, it's a standard buy to let mortgage, whatever, you know, using banks finance. There's people who use angel finance, plenty of those online. There's some other people that don't, you know, the rent to rent and all these quirky things. But this is to you know, for that to be your first strategy is really interesting to me. So let's explore that a little bit more. So for people that list, you know, some people might not even know what a lease option is. So how would you, what is your sort of simplified way of explaining what a lease option is? Mark, how would you explain that?
Okay, I won't go through the technical definition, but basically you're just going to take over a property. You agree a purchase price now. You agree a date by when you need to buy it. So it could be normally 3 or 5 years. And then from the date of exchange, you're responsible for the property, everything. And in return, you get the rent. So the main benefit for an investor is that you don't need to take a mortgage out, because you're taking over the mortgage payments for somebody else. And because you're not exchanging with a delayed completion, it's a lease option, you don't pay stamp duty, and you've not got the survey costs or the admin costs. So it is really one of the cheapest ways to get into the property. Now, people think that one of the main advantages is that you don't have to put money in. And that depends on your strategy. If your strategy is, yeah, I don't want to put much in, you can get a lease option for £1 plus legal fees, and we've done plenty of them. But for somebody like me now, where my strategy is more to do with building up a profitable portfolio and cash flow is not too much of a concern, I'll use lease options to get me larger discounts or more favourable terms. So perhaps I'll pay them, you know, £20,000 on exchange if they give me an extra £30,000 off the purchase price, because to me, the £10,000 more important. If a lot of landlords at the moment are disposing of portfolios, and the main incentive for them is to stagger them over financial years. So when we did the title split, we got him an extra £98,000 worth of tax allowances he could use, whereas he couldn't have done that if he'd sold it. We could have took it up to 170,000, but for his own reasons, he didn't want to go that long. So from my point of view, I'm quite happy to complete on a property for cash or with a mortgage each year, because I've got a massive discount by doing a lease option. So it just really allows you to control the property for whatever reason that you want to. But if you're using lease options properly, you're offering a vendor something that they can't get anywhere else. They can't get it through an estate agent, or they can get it as the cash, and they don't always want the cash. When I'm dealing with divorce couples, one of the issues is that they can't afford to move out of the property, because normally it's the lady. She's, you know, stay at home mom, so she can't get a guarantor and she can't get the rent. So we'll pay, it's called option consideration. We'll give her a deposit on exchange, which will pay for 6 months rent up front. So we've identified what's stopping her from moving, but now we've just kind of covered that. So it's the creativity and the flexibility that it allows you to have when investing in properties. Bit of a long-winded answer there.
No, that's good. I mean, do you have to exchange upfront or not? I didn't think you exchanged upfront. I thought it was just an option to purchase in the future.
It is an option to purchase. And a top tip that I would give to anybody is never speak about lease options, because if you get on Google, there's, you know, a lot of information that would put people off. So we always explain them as an exchange with a delayed completion, because agents understand that, vendors can understand that, And once we've agreed the deal, we'll say that we're actually doing an option. It's not an exchange for the delayed completion, but it's just terminology. But yeah, if you exchange with a delayed completion, you do have to buy it. If it's a lease option, you don't have to buy it. That's the big difference. So we options on everything, yeah.
I see. Okay. So you're exchanging out everything pretty much, and then with a delayed completion. Okay.
Yeah, but my own strategy would be, if I've got on a 5-year lease option, is that I'd probably rent it out for 4 years, and then we'll put it on with an estate agent and sell it before I actually have to complete on it. So I've never owned it.
I see. That's interesting. Again, it's very creative strategies. It's, so you're giving them the price that they want in the future, you're controlling the property, you're then giving them, in some cases, giving them rent during that period, or a lump up front or both or whatever it may be. And then you don't even, because I was then, my next question was going to be, so when that option is coming to an end, what are banks like in terms of financing it? Are they going to be okay with that? I imagine some will be, but I didn't know if a lot would shy away.
If you think about it, as a general rule, the property has actually gone up in value over 5 years, for instance, but the amount that they're lending you is based on the purchase price at the beginning of the 5 years. So you've never got any real issue. So you would just buy it at the lower prices. Now, what I prefer to do if it's gone up a lot in value is I'll raise private funds or use my own money, complete on cash, and then literally the day after put an application in for refinance at the current market value. So it depends what your strategy is and on what you want to do with that property.